Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema here with Benjamin Solak, and we are doing our Draft Mulligans series. If you're new to the podcast and you weren't listening to the episodes before this, shame on you. You missed some really good ones. Good thing you can go back and listen to it on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. What we're doing is we are going through every single team randomly. I'm not letting you guys cheat like you did last time. We were going through all the draft classes and you were like, oh, they're just doing the AFC North, so I don't have to pay attention to it. Well, now you got to pay attention to all of them. I don't even put what teams that we're talking about in the descriptions of the podcast episode.
Get on your toes.
I'm making people click. You got to listen to this stuff. We're not doing
I'm
it for
our
health.
I'm trying to feed my family.
We're doing it. We're trying to feed our families out here. All right, but anyways. First team that we're doing today. And I pulled this out of a magical
No banter. Okay, good talk.
What'd you say? What do you want? I
said, I said, how are you? And you said, so the first team we're doing on the podcast.
I didn't even hear that. How are you? All right, Ben, how you doing, man? We'll get this out of the way.
We gotta get the pleasantries of, you know, checking in with each other out of the way. You gotta get rid of that nonsense. I'm well, man. I'm always well.
That's great.
Every day is a good day to be alive.
You know, I'm not so sure. The first team that we have out of the hat is the defending Super Bowl champions.
Oh, you didn't have to do that.
The New England Patriots. I didn't pick it. This is fate. This is destiny.
Yeah, you didn't have to say defending.
It's a hat.
So much oomph on it.
I can't control the hat. Only God can control the hat.
The hat did not have to say defending.
I mean, like, they're the defending. Patriots. They're currently defending. I'm having to defend the Patriots now defending.
This is a defense of the defense.
Defense wins championships. New England Patriots are the first team that we're talking about today. So what we're doing is we go down each draft class. I'm going to name out all their picks. We're going to talk about it. And then we're going to each take one player from their draft class, give them a change. We're going to become the GM. And then we're going to make their team better. So for the New England Patriots, they had a crap ton of picks, which is that's a scientific unit of measurement, a crap ton.
200 crap pounds.
Yeah.
2,000 crap pounds.
Part of the metric system. N'Keal Harry went in the first round at pick 32, which is shocking. Not only that the Patriots stayed in the first round, but they picked an actual wide receiver for the first time since 1952 in the first round. Yeah, I just really pulled it out. Round two, they went Juwan Williams, cornerback at Vanderbilt. Chase Winovich, Damian Harris, and Yanni Kajust. They had a bunch of day two picks there. And then getting into day three, they had, how do you say his name? The Arkansas guard?
Yalta.
Man.
Yalta Froholt.
You did that. You do that beautifully. I'm going to bring
him. I love
I'm going to try to bring
names.
Him up every single week.
Listen, you and John messed about. You're mucking about with name pronunciations. I do not play around. I learn how to pronounce these guys' names because they're fun to say, and I appreciate the fact that they were named.
That's
and
good.
I want to respect
I mean,
that.
I had to learn how to say Stevie Tuikolavatu really well last year.
Whoa! You can't just do that. You can't not warn a man and pull out Tuikolavatu. That was amazing.
So I had to learn his name really well when he was playing for the Bucks, but now he's not anymore, so I don't got to use it. Jared Stidham was after that. Byron Cowart, Jacob Bailey, Kadarius Webster. So that was their whole draft class. But I guess, like, what'd you think of the draft class kind of overall with the Patriots? They had a lot of picks. I thought the Patriots, like, honestly, if who ended up picking at 21? I can't remember. Somebody had picked.
The Green Bay Packers.
Packers traded up with Seattle at 21. If the Broncos did not pick Noah Fant at 20, I gotta believe the Patriots were about to trade up to 21 to go get Noah Fant. So this draft could have looked way different because the Patriots had way too many picks. But I actually think they did a good job with all of these. So I don't know. I'll let you have the floor now. What'd you think of the Patriots class, and then where would you be going if you were doing a little bit of a redo here?
Yeah, it's tricky, right? Because you want to say, listen, they overlooked tight end. How could they do this? But it's the Patriots and it's tight end. You know what I mean? Like, I can't say, like, they should have drafted a tight end. I'm never going to tell Bill Belichick what to do with tight ends ever.
You just can't question it.
Exactly. Like, I'm not bold and arrogant enough to think that I can say the Patriots should have done this. You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
I mean,
at this point,
I think you are both bold and arrogant enough to do that.
honestly, like, let's be honest, probably I could, and it is the whole point of the podcast is to judge the draft, but it's just the fact that it feels so weird to say, like, oh, the Patriots didn't draft the tight end. That's obviously surprising, but, you know, they go and they bring in Benjamin Watson, they have Austin Seferian Jenkins, and I really don't think, given Belichick's usage of the tight end position heavily over the last few years, obviously with Gronk, if he wanted to improve the position, I don't think they would have left it out with the amount of picks you had, like you said, with the amount of picks that they had, and so I won't be changing for a tight end, which I don't know if you are, but I will not be changing to have them pick a tight end. What I'll be doing is I'll go to 32, and this is all for Brad Kelly, who I sat next to on the first day of draft night with y'all on the live stream, Brad and I behind the scenes. 32, man, they take N'Keal Harry, wide receiver to Arizona. Brad did not want them to take N'Keal Harry. Brad liked a lot of wide receivers better, Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown, Kelvin Harmon, but obviously the crown jewel was still on the board. The man we all compared to Josh Gordon.
Oh,
current
wow. I didn't even think about this.
I am switching out N'Keal Harry, the last pick of the first round.
Do this.
For DK Metcalf, the last pick of the second round. Send DK to New England. Nuclear war.
How are you gonna give me crap about praising the Patriots for being defending Super Bowl champs, and then you give them DK Metcalf, which is the closest thing to a real-life Avenger that we have?
Because I'm sad they're defending, because Philadelphia obviously beat them in the Super Bowl 52. I don't know if you knew that or not. Philadelphia won that Super Bowl against the Patriots. So it just hurts that they didn't get an opportunity to go, you know, round two. But Metcalf, obviously, plays like Josh Gordon, has a downfield ability that really, like, the New England Patriots offense doesn't often have receivers who are at their strongest down the field. When they did, Brady just threw 50 touchdowns to Randy Moss. Like, that's all that happened. You know what I mean? It's like, it's fine. And obviously, we're not going to compare Metcalf to Moss yet, but he has the skill set to be elite down the field with his size, with his speed, and with his ball tracking abilities. N'Keal Harry makes amazing contested catches down the field, and he has great rack ability, but he lacks the separation ability of Metcalf. He lacks the routes, and in my opinion, he lacks some of the play IQ as well. So I thought this was an overdraft that I can correct by giving them a top 10 player in Metcalf, who fills a similar role much, much, much better than N'Keal Harry does.
Man, okay. All right. Well, it's interesting because you and I, we both went offensive arsenal for the Patriots, but we went different directions because I didn't go tight end either. I'm replacing the Juwan Williams cornerback pick just because I didn't think it was that pressing of a need for the Patriots, who seem to make it work with all different kinds of corners. So,
right. I really could have replaced Juwan with DK and just given them N'Keal and DK, but I decided that was too much.
Okay, well, how about these apples then? So they already have N'Keal Harry, which they picked at 32. I'm giving them at 45. You talked about not necessarily having to force a tight end pick. And I was with you as I was going through this. I was with that thought process of you don't have to necessarily pick a tight end. You can instead pick what I would consider a better talent to continue to get that mismatch opportunity. It doesn't have to come from the tight end mole. That's why I'd give the Patriots in the second round J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So that's who I'm giving the Patriots instead of Juwan Williams, because can you imagine Brady and J-Jaw? That'd be great. I think that would be great. Because the same thing that you're looking to get from the tight end when it comes from contested catches and winning with your body, winning with length, even, you know, winning up the middle, winning in the red zone in short yardage situations. Those are the characteristics you would list off of a suitable tight end, a tight end that you would covet. And I can get that in Arcega-Whiteside. So I'm picking, you know, I would have Arcega-Whiteside ranked above any of the tight ends that were left. So this one's kind of a no-brainer to me. I kind of get to make the swap there. So there you go.
In the future, Trevor, we're podcasting together. We're feeling each other out. We're building the co-host dynamic.
Sure.
In the future, I'm going to need you to ease me into picks like that with a little more love, a little more tender care and affection. I was not ready for it. My heart was not prepared. I was not braced. And it really hurt me. I really felt that one in my gizzard. That was too much.
I'm gonna
need a moment. You gotta put an ad in, because I'm gonna need 30 seconds.
Listen, man, it's okay, because in real life, the Eagles have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Yeah, dang straight. So the son of this podcast. The firstborn son of Locked On NFL Draft.
The next team that I drew out of the magical hat of destiny, the Carolina Panthers. And I think the Carolina Panthers, to start this draft off, got boy, I mean, you could argue that this was the steal of the draft. And I think you and I talked about this a little bit mm-hmm. before when we went over the Panthers draft, that, okay, you know, maybe there was a guy who went in the fifth round who we might have had ranked in our top 50 or something, or you know, like second or third round, where in terms of pick number, the value might be bigger later in the draft. But to get Brian Burns, who was really he was a top six player for both of us. Was he a top three player for you? Was he three for you?
Top four.
Okay, so top four. You get him at 16. That's huge in terms of the multiplier that you would have to assess on this for potential impact of a first-round pick, I think is really huge. So they end up getting him right at the top at number 16. Greg Little was after that. Will Greer, Christian Miller, Jordan Scarlett, Dennis Daly, Terry Godwin. So that's the Panthers class. Ben, if you're taking one guy making the swap, who's it going to be?
Yeah, so it's funny. Like so the Buffalo Bills get a ton of credit, right? Because they were able to get Ed Oliver at 9, and then they circle back at 38, and they get Cody Ford, who a lot of people liked as a first-rounder. He was my offensive tackle one. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? The Panthers were one pick off of that. They're at 16 selecting Brian Burns, so getting a defender of Ed Oliver's caliber, in my opinion, at 16, later than 9, and then...
16 is later than 9, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, you know what? I did
I just checked on the math board, and that is, mm-hmm. yeah, it's later.
Right, and of course, so they trade up to 37 in the second round. Cody Ford is still on the board, and you're thinking, man, the Panthers, real big bodies. They love the hog mollies, guard tackle, versatility. Makes a lot of sense with the guys they currently have on the roster. But
I love that.
Hog mollies, yes. Baby. Listen, if Mayock's not going to be in the media, somebody's got to pick up hog
mollies. Somebody's got to do it.
I will bear the burden for the people. Listen. But we knew 24, 36 hours really before the draft, we were talking with people, the Panthers had their eyes on Little. So when they made this trade up, you were praying they were smart and were going to take Ford. But it was Greg Little, the tackle out of Ole Miss, who I think is multiple years away from starting, whereas Cody Ford is a year one starter. So for me, addressing these mulligan approaches, these fixing one picks, 37 Greg Little offensive tackle, one pick later, 38 Cody Ford, it's no hesitation to me. Just boom, I'm going to swap those two out real quick. So I gave him Cody Ford instead of Greg Little. And I think now people look at their draft like they're currently looking at the Buffalo Bills draft if you make that change.
Yeah, and I hope this doesn't happen too often, but we got the same guy. And I knew that we would have the same guy as I was going through
easy.
This. Because, I mean, Cody Ford was most of our offensive tackle ones. And especially for this Panthers team, exactly what they need, right? I mean, that right tackle need with Darrell Williams, that's the side that they want to change, right? That's the side that they need help on. Cody Ford was playing right tackle this past year at Oklahoma, and he was doing it really well. And like, a giant dude, so much strength in his body and in his frame. This is a team in Carolina that loves to run the ball. They want to establish their offense by running the ball, by setting the tone up front, by being physical. That's Cody Ford, man. How was Cody Ford not the pick here?
I don't get it.
I just don't understand. That was the... I had mocked Cody Ford to the Panthers in the first round because it made so much sense.
Right. I remember when like I was like really sitting down like mocking team match, and I remember when I thought of the Panthers and Cody Ford like in like, you know, January, February, whenever it was, and I was like, you know what? Heck yeah, brother, I got one. And Carolina was like, you know what? Instead we're gonna draft Greg Little. How do you feel? And I said, Carolina, keep pounding, baby, but I feel bad. That ain't it.
It would have been such a seamless transition, I think, for him to come in and play right away. And you talked a little bit there about Greg Little being, you know, maybe a year or two from really solidifying a starting role. Dude, there's some really scary flashes, and I don't mean that in the good way, with his tape where you just go, oh, okay. Like, I mean, some of it's just like lack of focus. Like Greg Little, physically imposing dude, I think former 5-star offensive tackle, clearly has the physical traits to get it all done, but there are just some plays where mental lapses. He just gets his butt whooped inside or on a certain move to the outside, gets set up one way, guy goes the other, and it's just like, dude, that's not a guy that you really want starting in the NFL. Competition only gets tougher. So I think
there are some positions where I will swallow inconsistency. Offensive tackle is not
one
of them.
No, it can't be one of them.
Because your inconsistency as a wide receiver is a drop across the middle of the field on third down. That hurts. Your inconsistency at offensive tackle is my injured starting quarterback. That's the worst possible thing. And, you know what I mean? And so it's different.
This pick is tough because I think the better solution for him was sitting right there, and not only sitting for him right there, went directly to the pick after that. So a little weird. Uh-huh. Not sure why they weren't in on Cody Ford. That didn't really make sense to me. San Francisco 49ers Bebians. Are the next team that we have up. On Twitter.com, the fine website in which we all spew our BS, somebody was talking with Matt Miller and said that the 49ers are like the worst roster in the NFL. And I'm like, yo, no. Like, they're not even close to the worst roster in the NFL. If you want to call them like a middle of the road roster just because they still have a lot to prove, okay, that's fine. If you even wanted to say they're a bottom 10 roster because you would say that they're somewhere in like 8, 9, or 10 and you want to give yourself the emphasis of the sentence of saying that they're bottom 10, whatever. But they're not even close to like some of the worst rosters in the NFL. No way. So that was asinine. Just had to get that off my chest. Sorry. Their actual draft. How they improved their roster to still not be the worst roster in the NFL. Nick Bosa, of course, number two overall. Tyshawn Samuel, who we now know better as Debo, because when he was a kid, he was a bully. And they called him.
Heck yeah, brother.
Jalen Hurd went after that. Mitchell Wisnowski, the punter from Utah, went the fourth round. Dre Greenlaw.
Wonder
Caden Smith,
who we're going to change.
Justin Skull. And Tim Harris. Are you changing the punter?
Listen, I got to be honest with you. I love Mitch. I cover the Pac-12. He was awesome. I want to shout out Bill Riley, who brings me on to ESPN 700 in Utah all the time and asked me for months coming up to the draft, yo, is Mitch going to get drafted? I was like, yeah, he is. I did not say in the fourth round, though.
Fourth round, dude.
Little healthy for the punter. And Wisnowski is a really, really good punter. Like, he's better than the best punter of the class.
Yeah, but he's a punter.
Right. Trevor, I'm changing the I'm just saying, Wisnowski's a good punter, and San Fran is going to be happy with the work he does when they're forgetting that he was drafted in the fourth round.
Yeah.
And so the question becomes, who do you replace him with? To me, I was on this.
If you take my guy, I'm going to be pissed.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you who it is.
Because I went through a process to pick this one for the 49ers, and I'll tell you about it after your pick. Sorry.
Keep going. Right. No, it's no worries. To me, from the end of last year, regular season, I said, listen, I really think the Niners should go after a guard. Like, I really think the Niners would do well to improve the interior of their offensive line. Mm. And that was something they chose not to do. Lakin Tomlinson, as their left guard, I think he's a solid starter. You're probably fine with him. Mike Person at right guard, to me, like, it's just, I think that there's, you can improve on Tomlinson and especially Person. Joshua Garnett is on the outs. He did not develop into what they wanted when they traded back up into the first round to go get him. Of course, that was the Chip Kelly year, but Garnett is not, is not a tenable option here. They bring in Ben Garland, undrafted free agency. Atlanta cast him off for a reason. These are not great players in the interior, and I think that 49ers want to be able to run the football more effectively than they have, and you need to improve the offensive line. They have great tackles. I gave them Drew Samia. 110 was Mitch Wisnowski.
Okay.
114, right. Samia went to the Vikings. Okay. I think Samia, we didn't expect him to be there in the 100. I think he brings a lot of nasty. You put him next to Mike McGlinchey at right guard. That makes the most sense for Samia's skill set. You really start to solidify this interior offensive line, which to me right now is the wide receiver core is great with the addition of Samuel and Hurd. Obviously, tight end, you're incredibly strong. Kittle, Caden Smith, Garrett Selleck. Quarterback, you're good with Garoppolo. Running backs are great. You've got a huge stable of good running backs. The weakness on this offense right now is the offensive line. I thought they would have addressed it earlier, so I'm doing it for them. Drew Samia in the fourth round.
No, I like that. I actually really like that pick. I didn't even really think about that. And when I was...
It's just like I've been beating this drum for 4 months, and I knew they weren't going to do it. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. Now I'm in charge, so we're getting a guard.
Yeah, you're in charge. Everybody's fired. Chicken fingers on Thursdays. The 49ers draft needs going into it, I would have said, was like corner and safety, and then both sides of the trenches, and then like wide receiver.
Are you sure they need a safety, Trevor? Are you sure? Adrian Colbert is on the roster.
Oh, boy. Yes, they still need a safety.
They need a safety. Yes, they do.
They not only need safety, they just kind of need youth everywhere. I mean, I'm as big of a Jason Verrett fan as literally anybody that you're going to find. But him on one side, I mean, I know they got Akilah Witherspoon too. You have Richard Sherman as well, but he's getting up there in age. Jaquiski Tartt and then Adrian Colburn are their safeties. They have DJ Reed. They have Marcel Harris. They have Anton Exum as well. But in order for me to pick an impact safety or corner for this team, I would have had to got rid of either Debo or Jalen Hurd. And I love those picks so much for the Shanahan offense or for the 49ers team that I couldn't find myself being able to do it because I wanted to do it for Nasir Adderley originally, but I was like, I do Nasir over Hurd, but I wouldn't do him over Debo. And Nasir got picked before Jalen Hurd did.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really hard for me. And then with corners, it was kind of like a, you know, if you're not picking Byron, then I didn't really love any of this corner class. You know, I could have said something like Amani, but I didn't really want to get into that. And so this was really tough for me. And then when I got down to the fourth round and I got to replacing the punter, what I saw...
Call him by his name. His name is not the punter. It's Mitch Wishnowski.
It's Mitch the punter Wishnowski.
Wishnowski.
Okay? There was a player a couple picks after him that really caught my eye, and that is safety Amani Hooker from Iowa. And I think that Hooker offers a lot of versatility and upside to potentially be a starter where I could have nabbed him instead of the punter and still been okay with the two wide receivers that I picked above him. So I think that Hooker offers a lot of versatility. I like his instincts. I liked it where he would have been picked in the fourth round for this 49ers team. He could have given them some good depth and some starter potential. So that's where I would have went if I had a redo here.
I really, really like that. I think that's awesome.
Okay.
Amani Hooker, I love as a prospect. And him in Tennessee gets me so stoked. So I think San Francisco, he gets starting time in year one. Easy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he could very well fight for a starting spot pretty well. Last team on this podcast, the Kansas City Chiefs. Their first pick, they went with Kerry Hardman. If you don't know who that is, it's because you probably know him as Mecole Hardman from Georgia, wide receiver from Georgia.
Stop it.
Dude, I swear that's his name. It literally says Kerry Hardman.
No, I agree that it's his name. I just love the fact that we're still banging on this. Yo, wait, we're just learning all these guys' names.
I don't know what to tell you. Later. I call people what they tell me to call them. That's it. That's what I do. Juan Thornhill was after that. Kalen Saunders, Rashad Fenton, Darwin Thompson, and Nick Allegretti. Ben, if you look at this, now remember, the Tyreek Hill stuff came out right before this draft, and I've got to think that that went into the Mecole Hardman pick all the way at the top of the second round. So was that still the right pick at the time? Is that the pick you might be changing? Where are you going with this draft, Mulligan?
Yeah, so it's funny because I approached this one differently than I approached a lot of the other ones, where for the other ones it was, okay, let's find a pick I don't really like and change it to be a pick that I think would be better. Whereas for this one, it was, okay, they waited to draft a corner until the sixth round, and that's malpractice. That's I just don't understand how you can possibly look at your own roster and be like, yeah, we can probably wait until the sixth round to draft a corner. What are you? I'm trying not to clap because listeners keep asking me not to clap because it, you know, spikes their ears. But what are we doing? You need a corner so badly right now. Starting is Charvarius Ward, undrafted free agent at Middle Tennessee State, who started on the Dallas roster. You traded for him. Bashaud Breeland, who is like a replacement level starter on a good day. Kendall Fuller, who is a slot corner. And then you've got a bunch of sixth and seventh round picks and undrafted free agents behind them. I just don't. You have to be able to play man coverage in the NFL to win. Like, Chiefs, you're not going to get past the divisional championship round unless you can play some gosh darn man coverage.
They should have gotten past it anyways.
And listen, so I just simply went.
D4 wasn't offsides.
Okay, sure. I went and I just said, I'm going to find a corner that went a little bit after one of their picks, and then I'm just going to change the pick to be the corner.
Okay.
And so,
who'd you land on?
Right. So I ended up landing on Justin Lane, who went 83 overall to the Steelers, one pick before 84, Kalen Saunders. And I was like, fudge. Like, we just got Justin Lane. Two picks later, I could have changed out Kalen Saunders.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to change out 63 overall Juan Thornhill because they also needed a safety. So I moved all the way up to Mecole Hardman at 56.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, listen, Kansas City, I'll be honest with you guys. You have Sammy. You have Byron Pringle, who's very fast. You have – that's pretty much it at wide receiver right now. But you have those two guys. You can get a wide receiver later instead of drafting Rashad frickin' Fenton. And I gave them at 56 Justin Lane, leapfrogging.
Okay.
Lane, Thornhill, fix the gosh darn defense.
Wow.
And then get a wide receiver later. And it's annoying because I think Kalen Saunders is a luxury pick. I think with Chris Jones and Derek Nnadi, they have their two starters, and I think Saunders is going to get rotational playing time, but I don't think they need him as badly. I would have liked to have seen them go corner, safety, wide receiver with the first three picks, but I couldn't find the right way to change it, and so I just, you know, fudged it, and I put Justin Lane as the first pick.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That does make sense, because certainly when you look at this team, you think, okay, defense is the area where they need to improve, but the way that I approached it with Tyreek Hill's situation being what it was going into the draft, I understand why they ended up taking Mecole Hardman, but, and this is where I'm making the change, Paris Campbell got picked, I think, two picks after Mecole Hardman, and I'd pick them Paris Campbell, because...
You're switching out Campbell for Hardman.
Yes.
Oh, I take Umbridge. Umbridge is taken.
Okay, let's
Explain
hear it.
Explain yourself okay. So I can disparage you. No, okay. Give your justification so I can tell you why it's wrong.
Okay. Paris Campbell had better stats. He's bigger and he's more athletic. There you go.
That's my analysis.
There you go.
Mecole Hardman actually ran routes down the gosh darn field, bro.
Right. But if you can't tell yourself as a coach, I'm going to take the guy who is more productive, who is bigger, who is faster, then okay. What are you
when
doing
we
in coaching?
Say more productive, Ohio State was actually throwing the football. Georgia was running it 45 times a game. Like, they just weren't throwing the football at all.
Yeah, but Paris Campbell's production is, like, leaps and bounds more than Hardman. So it's not just like I get it. Don't get me wrong. I understand what you're saying, and you're not wrong there when you say that the offensive emphasis was different. But, I mean, like, it's not like Paris Campbell was only doing this just because it was something different. Like, he significantly outproduced Mecole Hardman. And I think production matters in college. I really do. Not to say that Mecole Hardman won't succeed, but... I think having production is a big deal.
Man, I don't know. This has me in my feelings. I think Mecole is a comfortably better prospect than Paris Campbell was. I think he's a better route runner. I think he's better at three levels, better tracking the football. And there's just a lot that's unknown with Campbell that I think you saw on film from Mecole. I hear the argument for Campbell got the touches and produced on them, and that's exciting and that's good. But I like to me, in terms of like improving the draft class, the difference between Mecole and Paris isn't big enough for that to be my mulligan. This is the first time one of your picks has really made me go like, nah. You're dumb.
Well, I'm not going to have somebody call me dumb on my own podcast, so that means that we've got to end this podcast. All right, we've got... What day is it?
Goodbye.
We got one more day. We got one more day of draft mulligans, and then...
Yes.
We got one more day of draft mulligans this week. Don't worry, we'll be back next week. But we wanted to make sure, because we got a bunch of submissions of questions that we didn't even get to. We're going to do Fan Friday once again this week, so already start thinking of your questions that you want to ask us. Hit us up on Twitter, Ben Solak, Trevor Sikkema, at Tampa Bay Trey, at Benjamin Solak. Tweet us your Fan Friday, and you can even do it at the Draft Network, too. I'll be able to see it. Tweet us, hashtag Fan Friday. Should we do, like, L-O-N-D Fan Friday to, like, be different? I feel like...
That's complex.
Yeah, but, yeah, you're right. Like, I don't want to do it. All right, never mind. Just tweet at one of us. It just include our handles. And do hashtag Fan Friday. Ask us right. A bunch of questions. A lot of people last week asked us about 2020 prospects. Ben, do you want to open up Pandora's box and get into some 2020 prospects on Friday since we're doing only...
Listen, you can try to ask them, brother. But if we haven't watched them, we haven't watched them, right?
That is true.
I will say, right. And the thing is, like, if you're worried about your question not being read on the show, because we'll forget about it or miss it. If you ask like a good question, there's no way we'll miss it because we'll want to answer it. So just ask good questions. They will get answered on the show.
Okay. Well, we got one more show though before then, but start thinking your questions. Make sure you tweet them at us. And until then, you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.